This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network.
I feel good, I feel great. I'm living proof that it's not too late. Not too late to do what you need to do. To be a better you. To be a better you.
Live with baby.
Yeah, now I can. I lost the thing just went off, so I had to restart.
Okay, you're live, so go ahead and do yourself.
Okay. I'm live. Okay, great. Hello, this is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, and after a few technical difficulties, I think we are set to go. I have a fantastic guest, and she has been on with us before, so I'm really looking forward to speaking to you, Kelly Fitzgerald. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me back.
You're so welcome, and I'm so sorry I had a difficult starting time here, but that's the way it is sometimes.
Yep.
You know, I am just so thrilled that you're back with us, and I just want to thank our listening audience. And I know that if anyone has listened to the show and heard when you were on the last time, they will know that we had a great conversation. We had so many great things we were talking about last time, and I really would like to know a lot about everything we talked about before, but the one thing we want to definitely discuss is your brand new book and your book tour. So go ahead and just kind of fill us in a little bit on you to start with, if people don't know who you are at this time or didn't listen to that show, and then we can talk about the book after.
Sure.
That.
I have been intuitive my entire life. I did not know what to do with that for many, many years. I sort of got bullied for being that way. Led to a lot of interesting adventures early on in my life before I finally settled into who I am. I've been teaching spirituality and energy healing since the 80s, so quite a long time. I started publishing books. It's so funny because I have always written, and yet in the past, most of the things that I've written came out in the form of song lyrics. So I had to sort of revamp that attitude, as it were, towards writing, and started publishing books 2012, I think, the first one. So it's,
wow.
It's been quite the journey. But along with teaching, one of the things that I have had so many new people coming to me and asking questions, because they see things on social media or they hear someone talking about it, and it's kind of confusing because everything is energy. And when you tell someone that, they go, no. Well, yes, it is. And when I teach Reiki 1, it's always a big topic of discussion on what to do with that statement that everything is energy. So I wrote this book to kind of set a foundation for people. You know, it's a very tiny book. It's only like 52 pages. It's very cheap. I had priced it at $7.50 because I wanted everyone to be able to afford it, because I really do think that people do need this information now. And it goes into a very, very brief overview of your chakras and, you know, what are chakras? How do you, you know, balance chakras when people are talking about grounding? What does that mean? You know, it goes through all of that kind of stuff, just very, very basic beginning stuff.
That's really awesome. I think that's really great because, you know, it's nice to have it in a almost an outline form for people that don't have a clue what this is or that don't understand that everything actually is energy. So I love what you're doing with this. And I love that I actually just like the small, simple things. So that's a really wonderful idea that you've created this. Now, can I just go backwards a little bit on the beginning of what you were saying? And so I guess I might have missed that the last time, but the that's interesting that you started teaching all the way back in the 80s, which you don't look old enough to do that, of course. But that's interesting. And then also that about the song lyrics. So that's fascinating that you've had to do that. I've actually had to do that a little bit with, you know, thinking about how my songs were in the past and now. But I love that you had to, that you rewrote it in a ways that, can you explain that a little bit how in more detail?
Well, when in the 80s, I actually fronted a rock band. I had pink, blue, and purple stripes in my hair in the 80s. And it was all original material that I was writing. When I went back later on and looked at some of those lyrics, I actually realized they were deeper than I thought. You know, and you know, because you're a performer, you get on stage and you sing the song, and yes, you feel it, and yeah, it's nice and it's wonderful to share, and you know, blah blah blah. And I was doing that, but I wrote these lyrics, and I didn't even realize what I'd written.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of go through the motions. And that's, I had to go back and relook at some of the things that I had written. My very first poetry book is called Lyrics and Lines from Another Life. And most of those are the actual song lyrics that I wrote way back when. I finally just decided, you know what, I'm just going to put these out there and see what happens. So yeah, I have a long history with music and writing lyrics. But
wow, what a great idea to take your old songs and then, you know, put them out in a book form. Wow, I love that.
Well, and you know, if you've ever written lyrics, you kind of know when you go back years and years later, you realize how psychic you are. It's like, wait a minute, I wrote that for this. But boy, does it ever apply to that.
Oh, yeah. I totally understand.
Yeah, it's just fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I've written songs and then, you know, I don't know. I wrote songs that actually when you look at what they came true, I mean, they were not, some of them were just absolutely, you know, really not good for me, but they actually happened. So I was, you know, obviously getting clues, like maybe don't go that way if you do right. That in a Mercedes, you know, but I wrote it, sang it like a troubadour.
Yep, yep. <You know?
laughs> Okay, so when you were teaching, okay, so you were doing the band and all that, having the band singing and writing songs, is that kind of when the teaching also started for you, or did it become like you wanted to do one more than the other, or was it a combination?
You know, the funny thing happened. I was at a like street fair of all places, and I ran into an older woman who looked at me and she says, "You do energy work. You're a drummer. You're," and she's telling listing all of these things that she's telling me I was, and I'm like, "No, no, no." And she says, "Yes, you are." And she gave me this flyer, and it was about classes that she was teaching in spiritual development. And I went, "I don't need that. That just, you know, I'd always been intuitive and I've always seen dead people and I always talked to them and, you know, but I'd never really thought of going in that direction." And she was persistent. And of course, I told her, "Of course, I'll go." And then I didn't go. You know, and then that next week, different people kept coming up to me and they would say, "Hey, I don't know why I want to tell you this, but this happened to me. What do you think about that?" You know,
Wow.
it's total strangers were approaching me on the street, and telling me their life story.
So yeah, so it was like signs, like the people, the spirit working through others to communicate with you to get you to turn the light bulb on. Just let
And
you know that you're supposed to be doing that.
so it started that way. And finally, after weeks, and I kept running into this woman, and finally I said, "Okay, I surrender, I give up. What am I supposed to do?" And I became a Reiki master and then master teacher after, well, it takes years, but yeah, that's where it started. And in the meantime, I was just helping people with, different, like beginning spirituality, like what does this look like? What does that look like? What do the colors mean? What do the energy centers mean? And I intuitively knew about chakras as far as the colors, but I didn't really know what they were called or how to use them. So that's what I had to learn first. So yeah, it's quite the adventure.
Yeah. So that's amazing that okay, so you've done I can't remember. I've had one level of Reiki, but I didn't continue because to me what my work has been is just has been a different way of doing that. But you know, I felt did not feel compelled to go on with more Reiki classes, but I do know how, you know, how great that is for people that want to do that. Can you talk a little bit about the symbols or the stages of the Reiki classes you teach? The
Reiki
person.
one,
Okay, go ahead.
sorry. Reiki one is really just a basic, honestly, the outline that I use with Reiki one is pretty much what I went through in this tiny book.
Okay, great.
I pretty much did that, and I added some spirituality into it. These days people are so confused. People are waking up, people are becoming more observant, becoming more true to their inner selves. And I still have people approaching me almost every day. What do I do about this? What is happening? I told someone a little while ago that ascension flu is becoming the new epidemic because people are waking up and they do need this information. They need to know if you're seeing, flashing lights on the side, out the corner of your eye, or if you're starting to see, a shimmering being kind of out of the corner of your eye. They need to know how to tell the difference between what is a good being, what is not, how to protect themselves. When you are opening up that, what I call your psychic gate, your third eye, and for the first time, it's really so important to protect yourself, and people don't know how. So that's one of the things that I cover in my basic spirituality course. I also teach mediumship. How do you get in touch with, your loved ones on the other side? That kind of stuff. But Reiki, because what I do today, if I'm working on someone, if I'm working on clients, is very different than the Reiki that I was taught. You know, I've sort of combined all of the different energy modalities that I've learned through the years. And that's what I work with my clients with. But if I'm teaching Reiki, Reiki 1, it's very basic. Reiki 2, you start learning about different symbols that people use with Reiki. Reiki 3 is like a master level. And that's really, if you want to go on and teach other people Reiki, that's what you do. You go through 1, 2, and 3. And then I have a master teacher level, which is I teach other teachers. And that's kind of probably been the most rewarding personally and the least financially successful, oddly enough. Yeah. But it's not about the money. You know, it's about, I do what I do because I have to. You know, I tried for decades to turn it off, to be somebody else. I didn't want to be, you know, this, you know, whatever this is. And so many people didn't understand and don't understand. You know, you can use the energy or you can communicate with the energies of any ascended master. On the other side of the veil, what people are always shocked to understand is it's all love. It's not, that's a Catholic, that's a Jew, that's, you know, it's not, it's all love. And I think if people started realizing that really that's what it is, it's all about love, about loving and accepting each other, then we'd probably have a lot more happy people and a lot fewer, you know, issues with the divisiveness that has been rampant.
Well, so when you're teaching the, like say a beginner, what would you tell them as far as you talked about protection? So how would you tell them about basic protection?
What I do, I like to put people in bubbles. I don't know. I had a hamster with one of those clear plastic balls when I was a kid. Maybe that's where it comes from. But I tell people to envelop yourself in the brightest white light that you can. Ask for God energy. Ask for Christ energy if you're a Christian. Ask for whatever, whoever ascended master is your protector. Ask for their help. Ask for their energy. And make sure that whoever you're communicating with is of 100% pure divine love and light. Some people make their bubbles pink. And at first, I wasn't sure why, but that is Mary energy. What?
Mary and love.
Yep. So, you know, and if that resonates, yay, make your bubble pink. But I do advise people, especially when they're just starting out, because when you're first starting out, you don't know about tricksters. You know, you don't know that someone can come through and communicate with you. And you think it's, you know, one of God's angels. And it turns out that you're getting bad information. I definitely protection, protection, protection. And I ask several times during any reading that I do, and I do readings all the time, mediumship readings. And I always ask several times during the reading, are you of 100% pure divine love and light? And they kind of have to answer that. And sometimes you'll get one that says no, and you'll say, you are dismissed. You're not welcome here. You must leave immediately. And we refill our bubble with, you know, pure love and light and protection. People don't realize they can ask for help, you know, and that's probably when I teach beginning classes, I see the light bulbs go on over people's heads because I ask them, have you heard of a guardian angel? Do you believe you have one? Everyone has a guardian angel, and you see the light bulbs going on. Oh, wait, I have help. I'm not by myself. Somebody loves me, you know. And that's really what I try to instill in people is you are loved. You are part of the divine. You are exactly where you need to be right now, wherever that is, no matter how good it is, no matter how bad it is, you are exactly where you need to be. You know, I started from below zero several times in my life. And I can tell you it changes. No matter how bad it is, it will change. You will get through it. And you do have the ability to ask your angels for help.
I recently had an angelologist. She's an angelologist. And she had very much this, you know, of course, similar things to what you're saying. And I just really, really enjoy that, what you're saying, Kelly, because it's really great for people to understand that they do have like a team out there. Yeah. Could you explain a little bit more about what is the difference of a guardian angel and then like other angelic beings that are, do you believe that you might have more than one or that different ones come in at different times of your life, or how do you see that?
Absolutely. I think they do. As we go through life, we do what I call leveling up. You know, you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. You know, I'm certainly not. I'm not the person I was last week, honestly. You know, we go through life and we experience things and we keep going. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago on one of the events that I did, I was replugging my Lately project, the children's series. And there was this most beautiful little girl. And she kept staring and pointing and staring and pointing. And her mom was saying, "That's rude. Don't do that." And she says, "But mom, she's an angel." And that was the most wonderful thing anyone has ever said about me. So I think different people can see different other people as angels. To that little girl, she was so resonating with what I was saying and the activities we were doing that she decided I was her angel. And I do think that that is possible, especially for kids, because if kids are looking for someone to look up to, and depending on what they're being taught at home, yeah, totally. You know, you can pick a different person. You know, it's as we experience things, our guides change, our guardian angels, in my case, probably call for backup. And, you know, it's just, we do. But I do think that the divine is so well orchestrated that when they see someone on earth going through something that they're really, is really having a negative impact on them, I think they do send forces out to help. And it may or may not be angels you've worked with in the past. You know, I know my guides through my life have changed. And the difference between angels and guides are that you can have a guide who is an angel. Most people do not. Most people have someone who is a very learned, very spiritual, very whatever you need in your life type person that has crossed over and I believe chose to guide people through their lives. And I think they do guide people that, you know, so that they don't make the same mistakes that the guide did. When I had my near-death experience, my second one, I was told I could stay if I wanted. And then this guide stepped forward and said, "But here is what you will miss."
And that's like a show, huh?
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going back because, you know, I can't miss that. And I've talked to many other people who have had a near-death experience, and several people have told similar things happened to them. You know, one gentleman, he's like, "If I had stayed there, I would have never met my granddaughter." You know, so it's the deep love, the profound events that we would have missed. And we were like, "Nope, going back. All right, send me home." You know? So, you know, a lot of things can happen. And some people, I feel bad for them, think it's all just random. It's not random. None of it is random. We do exactly what we need to do in order for our soul to grow.
How would you help a person? Okay. So, like, say for instance, a person has somebody that they know that needs help, but they can't speak to them, they can't talk to them. How could a person work on the person that needs help without them knowing? Is that something possible to do you think?
We all have free will on this planet. And there is a school of thought that says if they cannot give permission, then you cannot help spiritually. There is another school of thought that says if you have the ability to communicate directly with their higher self and their higher self accepts the help, then you have permission. The issue happens when people who are not trained in how to do that decide they're doing it. And then, there is training involved in that kind of thing. But I've worked with many very gifted healers who routinely will go in and say, okay, let's work with protection. We're going to protect both us and we protect the person we want to help. And then we go in and we say, I need to speak to their higher self. And if the higher self shows up, you can ask the question. But you have to abide by whatever their higher self says. And unfortunately, most of the time, either their higher self will say no or just will not. They'll step forward enough to see what's going on and then they'll retreat. It's kind of the same premise with dealing with an alcoholic or a drug addict that needs rehab. You cannot force someone to get the help they need. They have to decide they're ready. And
Yeah.
a lot of those cases, I end up working with the person who wanted to help to get him to understand why it's not possible, but it is not always possible.
Right. That's good. I've had a several people discussing that with me, with my own clients or people I work with or just average people, and that seems to be one of the questions that's coming at me a lot, and I feel the same as you do. I just thought it would be wonderful to hear your explanation and how you would deal with that, since there seem to be a lot of difficult questions were coming to me. I really think what I should do the next time you come on is ask do like a question, send me questions for Kelly before you come on, because I mean, it would, I think that would be great. I've got my questions, so I'm just kind of going over with what I think people would like to know. One thing I would like to know a little bit more about you too is the book tour. So, and sounds like you've been doing quite a lot of events or different things. Can you kind of tell people generally the different types of events that you do to show what your work is?
One of my favorite things to do is go to battered women's shelters or homeless shelters and work with the people on self-esteem issues, work with them on love issues, work with them on self-care issues. I have a background in domestic violence. My daughter's father was very brutally abusive and to the point where he nearly killed both of us. But I think that part of our jobs as good people is to help other people who are going through something we've gone through. So that's really near and dear to my heart, is making sure that everyone knows that they are loved and how to take care of themselves. And simple things like talking about meditation is really important in rebuilding self-esteem or a concept that you are safe. And I see that so often. But I also work with a lot of kids through the Laylee Project, and it's just mostly underserved schools or libraries or communities. And it's just, they're so appreciative that anyone bothered to show up and to care. And that makes it completely wonderful for me. We talked before, and you know, I do animal rescue too. So I actually have a program that is brand new. I just started it to help prevent burnout from volunteers. And it's not just aimed at animal rescue. It's also caregivers, you know, for people, any situation, hospice situations where you don't feel like you have permission to fall apart. You know, I can't be sad today. Look at all the work I have to do. Look at all these things that have it worse than I do. And I think that's really, as more people wake up, I'm finding that more people want to contribute to society. They want to give back in some way. And then they start doing that and they're like, whoa, this is really hard. And you don't want them to just quit, but giving people some basic tools to help them move forward, I think is very valuable.
Wow, that's really, really nice of you. That's really wonderful.
It was self-preservation at the beginning.
But I know you're so right, because, you know, well, I know that when I have to work on people and every person, even if it's just a hurt person that you have to physically work on, but it's all a physical and emotional no matter what. And so, yeah, I mean, it took me a long time to figure out how to not let all those just cover me. You know, so it took a lot of life, you know, a lot of time to learn how to not get the, you know, the burden of the energy. So what would be two or three things that you would help a person? How would you help them with two or three things right off the bat? Quickly, one, two, three.
One of the most valuable things anyone can learn is deep breathing. If you just take a deep breath in and visualize yourself being filled with green energy or white energy or gold or whatever your favorite color is, energy, and then just blow it out and visualize all of the ick that you're picking up blowing back out. I've seen nurses in hospitals and emergency rooms doing this, and it really, really does work. The other thing is find a couple of minutes just to step away from the situation. You know, if you can go outside, that's best. And give yourself a 90-minute or 90-second, minute and a half meditation time. And you don't have to sit there and try to force yourself to meditate. Meditate seems to be a word that a lot of people just don't like. They don't get it. They don't understand. So just give yourself a break. That's the best thing that you can do if you're, you know, can't talk to anyone. But really the best thing you can do if you're feeling burnout in a volunteer or a high-stress job, talk to your coworkers about it. I'm just feeling so stressed today. And then you can commiserate. And then everybody's like, all right, that's over with. And then they can get back to work. Learn to laugh at it when you're commiserating with your coworkers or with someone that you can talk to. Learn to laugh at it. You know, we've had so many kittens in rescue lately. And we've started comparing colors of kitten poop. To laugh at. I didn't feed you anything orange. Why is that? You know, it's like a newborn baby. You know, you have to find something to cut that stress. And laughter is awesome.
Well, those are wonderful. I love those three things. And I agree with all of them. And, you know, the one thing about the breathing, I noticed that with people too when I'm working on, because now that I'm not at Medicine Wheel, Regenesis Tucson, and I'm over at, for my work on hands-on people is at a chiropractic office, Dove Mountain Chiropractic. And so let's say if I had nine people, only one of those nine people would understand what meditation is, breathing is,
right,
that all of the energy is. And it's been very interesting again, because it's like, at least they do a little bit understand. And then you'll get that one person that totally understands. And then that just makes me so happy. But it's joyful for me to be able to start to help others that don't understand any of it. And the breathing to me, I think, Kelly, is like huge. People just don't breathe at all.
It's weird.
They don't focus or breathe, or, you know, it's like And but it always ends up that when they take that first deep breath and then they let it out, and then they take that second one, it's like a completely different body with just one breath.
Right.
It's fascinating. So I love that you mentioned that. Okay, so on the tiny on the can you tell me that let's tell everybody the name of the brand new book, because it's got a cute name.
It is a tiny book about energy work.
You remember
It's a tiny
that
book,
so
yeah. Yeah.
I have okay, I'll tell you my secret. I have several little books. One of them is about it's Native American, just things about Native American spirituality, but it's in a book that is like 3 inches big. And I love this little tiny book. And so I really get it. I get a kick out of little books. So I when I first heard that you were doing this book and I saw the picture of it, I'm like, this is the cutest thing ever. It's perfect. I love that. Because you can carry those, you can easily give them to friends. You can easily send them in the mail. You can easily keep them in your purse or your notebooks or whatever. So I think it's a great idea. And so on the in the book, what do you think the key the one of the what do you think the main thing that you'd like to really get out the message, some of the main things in that book that you would like people to really understand, unless it's just everything, but if there's like a key to something, a key, one or two main keys, that would be interesting.
I think the main thing really, and when I'm teaching, this is the main thing that I keep going back to. Well, actually, there's two. We create our own realities. We do. We absolutely do. And I have had more downtimes in my life. And when you're in the dark, it's like, I did not create this. Yes, you did. You did. So what we put out is exactly what we're going to get back. And the second one is love is always the answer. You cannot move forward. And there's a little bit about law of attraction in this book too, because it's energy.
Right.
It's so important to realize, number one, everything changes. But if you can love where you are and say, I accept this is where I'm at right now, and I love me enough to say, you know what? I love this. This is okay. This is good. That's your foundation. Then you can grow from there. But if you're always talking about, I should be able to do this, but I can't, or that person was mean to me, or I don't like where I am, or I wish I had a different body, different mind, different whatever, then you're sabotaging yourself. I didn't believe that for a long time until I actually sabotaged myself. And I knew all of this. And I went, oh, okay. And I think people really need to realize that from the beginning and believe it. Believe it's true because it is.
Yeah, you're straight on right about that, and everything is a frequency too. Like you
Yep.
could even hear it. You could hear it just right then when you were talking. You had the positive chords, and then all of a sudden you went into like
Yep.
the those other lower frequencies. And yeah, it's so crazy. I mean, how we just don't even realize it, or people just don't realize that they're doing that. What do you say to people? I mean, like what we'll do over here is like we'll like if we start to get that way, Joe and I or whatever, we always he'll always say, oh no, you got to change your words, change your words. So do
Yep.
you agree? Well, do you agree? Like change your words, or how would you tell somebody to do that? Would you tell them to maybe write words down and change the words that if they use them all the time? How would you tell people to do that?
Well, as a writer, I tell people to journal all the time. And one of the big things with domestic violence victims, when they're trying to come through it, if you've been abused, you have very little of you left at the end of the abuse. And many of these people don't know who they are anymore. It's worse for kids than anything else. And I hate that. But if you can, and I tell people, write the worst letter to that person, to your abuser, that you can. I want 2 pages of exactly what they did and how horrible it was. And then I want 5 pages of how good you are now that you're out of that and how grateful you are to be out of that. And usually women tend to write more than men. And yes, men do get abused as well. But women will give me, usually they'll give me the 2-page thing about everything that horrible that happened. And then I'll usually get 6 to 8 pages of how they feel now that they're out of that situation.
Yeah.
And then we burn it. We have
no good.
Then we burn it. But you have to get it out of your body. And if you've been abused, you don't feel like you have the right to do that. So step one is always get it out of your body, because we hold on to things that we don't want to talk about and we don't want to look at. And we need to start looking at those. We need to start looking at those things. And if you're not ready, you're not ready. Then write 1 sentence. He was mean to me. That's great. Now go on with the pages about how you are not in that situation anymore. And I've had people do that. You know, with kids are fun. I had a whole group of children in a shelter one time throwing energy balls at each other. They were playing catch with energy balls because I had them hold their hands cupped, you know, across from each other. You know, just don't touch your fingers together, but feel that energy between your hands. And then make whatever energy ball you've made, however big it is. And some of these kids are really creative and they've made like 3 feet wide balls of energy. And, you know, and some of them are purple and some of them are blue and some, you know, they're all different colors. And then I didn't tell them to throw them at each other, but this group of kids decided to play catch with their energy balls. And every single one of them swore they could see those energy balls.
Wow. And you know what? Probably, you know, because I came from sexual abuse as a child, and then also, as a preteen, and then also during certain relationships in the past. So I believe from my own experience that it gives you the more intuitive ability,
yes,
from these type of things, because you feel more, or I can't really explain it. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I went through some of the same things, and it's really, you get quite good at predicting things, especially if you're abused as a child. You learn really, really fast, you know, what different sounds mean or what time it is without looking at a clock. You do become very intuitive towards that. You very, very sensitive towards that. It's amazing. The first decent person I went out with after that horrible, horrible first marriage, and it was years after that first marriage, he came up behind me one time and just put his hand on my back, and I nearly decked him. You know, my first response was, abuse is happening, I've got to get away. And that was years and years after. So it does, it changes you.
Discussing that, the energy stays in us. And I don't think people do understand that. And I love that that's part of your work. That's part of my work, helping people to release that stuck energy. And I know we all kind of do similar things. And it was interesting to hear again about your near death. I think there was 2, right?
Yeah.
So I think that would be interesting for you to talk a little bit about too, because if you don't mind, because, you know, there's so many people that go through such hardships and they don't understand how to get out. And, you know, these type of things that you've experienced and lived through and made it out of to become who you are today, I think are really great for people to hear. So if you don't mind, maybe just kind of going over a little bit about how that happened and how you got out of that.
Sure. The first one, I was 28, and my boyfriend and I were expecting a baby, and we were excited, and we knew it was a boy, and it's what he wanted. And it's really great until he decided to detach from his nice, cozy spot where he should have been and floated around into one of my fallopian tubes. And as the baby grew, my tube exploded. And I was bleeding to death. And they couldn't get me in to the ER quick enough. And finally, by the time everyone realized I was actually dying, they were wheeling me into the OR, and I saw the light, and I went through the tunnel, and I knew the baby was with me. And it was weird because here I am going through this tunnel with this infant floating beside me.
Wow.
And he talked to me, which was bizarre as well. And he said, "I will be back. I have to go now." And I woke up. It's like I had gone as far with that entity as I could. And he pushed me back. "You go back. I have to go now." And for the longest time, I was like, "What happened?" You know, it was a lot. I was out longer than that. But when they were bringing me back, I had seen my boyfriend in the chapel. I had seen him twirling a ring around his fingers that he hadn't given me yet. I had seen my friends freaking out, a couple of them donating blood because I'd lost so much. And it was like I was visiting everyone where they were. And then they brought me back. I was dead for 34 seconds, which, you know, not a long time. But
that's a long time, though.
There were a lot of things that happened in that 34 seconds. And wow. It was so odd. And I kept thinking, what did this kid mean? I have to go now, but I'll be back. I have to go now, though. That was the weirdest thing. And of course, the relationship disintegrated. He did propose. And then about 3 months later, we broke up. So it's like we were together for 6 years before that happened. And we were together for 3 months afterwards.
Wow.
And then my second one was more... That one was critical. I, you know, that was horrible. But I ended up with a 44-pound kidney because I had a tumor inside it that they couldn't figure out. And it was a collective of doctors in California where I was living at the time. And they just couldn't figure out what was going on. They couldn't figure it out. And it was bizarre. So when my now ex and I moved to Arizona, I ended up in the ER, and the urologist on call happened to be the best one in the state. And she took one look at me and went, "I know what this is. We're going to get you into surgery." And she was so comical in the way she approached me that I was like, "Yeah, okay, let's go. Let's do it." And I died on the table. And it was because what should have been a 2-hour operation ended up being an 8-hour operation.
Oh my goodness.
And they were shift changes in the middle of there. And they pulled 3 liters, I think she told me, of just infected liquid blood stuff out of me. And it was just then they got to the 44-pound kidney. It was just a lot longer than everyone expected. And I was told then that I could go. That was my exit point. I think we have several exit points throughout life. My first NDE was clearly not one of those. But the second one, they said, "You can go." And then that's when my guide said, "But there's what you'll miss." And it was that little boy is what I would have missed, in the form of my grandson.
Oh.
And it was, I had to come back. I wasn't going to miss that. Hell no, I wasn't going to miss that. So, yeah, so I came back. A friend of mine, Robert Tremblay, wrote a wonderful book about his NDE. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's, I think it's, I can't remember, but Robert Tremblay, Tremblay. He really, what he wrote was pretty close to, there's a collective of us that talk occasionally, and that's pretty close to what every one of us has experienced. The funniest part to me is God looks different to all of us. When you get to that center point, God was my grandmother. I'm like, well, this can't be right, you know. But it's the theory is, and his was a male relative, but the theory is that they are light beings. They have no bodies. So the theory is that they would choose a body that would make you relax and calm and feel love.
Yeah.
So that's, that was my kind of shock, was, wait a minute, you're not God.
That's
Anyway.
so. Oh my gosh, Kelly, you've gone through so much. That's
Which is why I write books.
oh my goodness. Well, I don't, I just, they're both just heartbreaking, actually. But I'm so glad you made it through and were able to, live on. I mean, that's just really amazing. And
Yeah, I do believe every one of us is given several exit points. But what you miss if you check out early is just something that I had to stay. I had to come back.
Well,
And
I'm glad you stayed and came back.
well, me too.
the one with the with your baby, that the second time that became, now as we know, is your grandchild. I mean, that's just amazing. I have a feeling we may be running out of time here, and I hope you'll come back again. But before we close, I would love for you to tell everybody where they can find you, your website, and all your current information.
The website is Intuitive Medium Kelly with an IE Fitzgerald.com. You can also find me on Facebook. It's, I think, Energy Healer, Kelly Fitzgerald. That's probably the easiest. It goes straight to my phone. I'm also on Twitter and a whole bunch of other places that I really can't remember right now. But but there is
I
all.
know there's so many things. You have to be
I
in charge of
know.
so many things now. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I have people that do social media for me, so I let them remember all that now. But
Oh, that's good.
yeah, and the all things metaphysical with Kelly and Gail is every other Wednesday. It's a YouTube show, so you can catch
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, it's on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. It's all things
Oh.
metaphysical with Kelly and Gail. We've been doing it for a while. It's a lot of fun. Last week, we did a show that went a lot deeper than we intended. So it's sort of a learning experience for all of us.
Well, that's great. You know what? I think when the last time we were on, that might have been on a break or something. On a break, I mean, I remember you talking about it, but maybe misunderstood, but that's awesome. I'm gonna look at that. I
Yeah, it's
didn't
on
know
YouTube.
that. Okay,
Yeah.
good.
It's
All right.
fun. It's a lot of fun.
Do you get to communicate with people like in chat or things like that?
Yeah, they can send comments and it's a lot of fun. We've had some really interesting comments and some great questions that
Oh,
people
that's
have come up.
great. That's awesome. Yay. Well, is there anything that you would still like to have talked about that you would like to still share with the audience?
I don't think so. I do have classes starting back up the 1st of August. If anyone is interested, these will be on Zoom, introductory spirituality kind of stuff, energy kind of stuff. Very, very basic classes is what I'm going to start with again. So reach out to my website and you can find all of that information.
Oh my gosh, that's great. So what you'll have is you'll be teaching like a class.
Yeah, it'll be Zoom. When I've done them in the past, they've lasted 30, 45 minutes, something like that, depending on what the topic is and how many questions we have. Because it has to be interactive if it's a learning, I can't talk, learning situation. I want questions.
Oh, that's awesome, Kelly. And so you just look on your website and then they can get on to those classes. How much do they usually charge for those?
Usually it's $35 for one class. You can buy packages. I try to keep everything as inexpensive as possible. Because right. I know people need this information.
So, right. That's good. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I didn't know you were doing that. Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah, okay.
Information awesome. Should be on the website in the next week or so. I think they're going to do that.
Well, good job. And then, so where is your next, where are you going to be? Do you have an upcoming book signing or something in the future that you could have people come to at this time?
I don't right now. I just got home and doing some Zoom interviews with different places across the country at this point. Trying to keep the airfare bill down to a dull roar.
Well, that's awesome.
Zoom appearances, yeah.
I'm so excited for you, and I'm very excited to come and meet you as soon as you can have a break and we can get together. Because I definitely want you to be a part of what I'm creating here with the docuseries. So yes. I'm really excited to have start getting that filmed very soon. And so thank you so much. And I just want to thank our producer, Stan Fikes. I want to thank Web Radio Network, Spreaker. And I just want to thank everybody listening. And you can always check my website out, MercedesLuckyBenedict.com. I can find me on Facebook as well. And I truly would love people to look at the YouTube channel and you know, just comment and let me know that you might have been listening. And the same goes for Kelly. If you want to reach out to Kelly Fitzgerald, you know, let her know that you did hear it on the show. That would be so great.
Yes,
to know that people are, yeah, that we would love to know.
Yeah.
I know people are listening, so it'd just be fun to actually, you know, get some communication going. So anyway, Kelly, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful evening and come back again, you know, very soon. And thank you so much for what you're doing for everyone by writing this book and by all the things that you do to help people. It's really great. And I really appreciate you as a human.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate this so much.
Okay. Have a beautiful night. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Good night. Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, streaming live on Spreaker and the Web Radio Network. This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube. Please enjoy my music.
Every time I've ever been knocked down, every time that I've ever gotten back up to face another round, I let go of my fear and put my pride down. I'm building my castle in heaven, climbing over mountains for the lessons I've been given. I'm building my castle in heaven. My castle is not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven. Every challenge, every mistake, every time that I choose faith, I grow strong. I keep moving on and on and on. Every moment, every day, every word that you say, every step along your way, every time that you make a mistake. Every good deed that you do, each time that you win, each time that you lose, each time that you walk, you walk in another shoe. Grow strong when we learn to forgive and we right our wrongs. It's here when